on a farm, dude, we have our own culture, okay? And tell my children, look, I don't care what else is going out there in the world. You don't work, you don't eat.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
This week's The Art of Fatherhood podcast is being brought to you by RPACT. RPACT is the one app every parent needs to keep their children safe when surfing the internet, playing online games, or engaging with social media. RPACT's goal is to assist parents in teaching children healthy digital habits and responsible, proper use of their device. RPACT is easy to use, easy to set up, and great for parents and families who are concerned with their child's use of technology. Whether you're introducing a device to your child for the very first time or simply have a teenager that spends way too much time on social media and other device apps, RPACT is the perfect parental control app solution for your family to encourage a healthy balance between technology and face-to-face social interaction. From scheduling device-free time for the family, schoolwork, or disconnecting, to screen time allowance, specific app blocking, website filtering, family location, screenshots of your child's device, RPACT is the most comprehensive parental control app and family locator tool that is perfect for families of any size. For more information and to download the RPACT app, go to their website at rpact.com or find RPACT in your mobile device app store. What's going on, everybody? Art Eddy here for another edition of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. And I'm so happy to have this guy. He's got an amazing story and he's got a great family. I can't wait to talk to him about all the different things that he's done. It's none other than Jason Brown. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, Jason. How you doing, sir?
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Love your story, man. I love everything about you and your family and the stuff that you're doing right now in terms of farming. We're going to get to that in a second, but I love, like I said, bringing good guys in yourself and talking about their fatherhood journey. And you, I feel like you are one of the best guests to have on my show because you are living that fatherhood life and you're teaching your kids so many great values, you and your wife. But when you found out you're going to be a dad, take me back, man. When you found out you're going to be a dad for the first time, what was going through your mind?
I tell you what, man, nothing can prepare you for it. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where we were ready. I mean, so Tay and I, we got married early. I was 20 years old at the time and, you know, kind of set family on the back burner a little bit because we were still trying to, you know, chase after our careers and get that foundation, you know, first. And it was my fourth year in the NFL, and it was 2007, and I was just happy it was a boy. Just to get that boy out of the way. I mean, you know, now for a lot of guys, they're like, oh, well, you know what? I'd be happy if it's a boy or a girl. And some guys, you know, they do want girls, but man, I've had so many teammates and people that I've run in contact with where they have 2, 3, 4 girls and they keep trying and it's like, it's just hard. And so, you know, just to get that boy out of the way, starting out, that was a big deal.
I appreciate your honesty. Yeah. Cause I mean, you are totally right, man. Every family is different. Every, you know, guy has like, okay, maybe I want that boy, maybe I want the girl, but I have seen not just like on the girl side where if like they have girls and they're trying for that boy, I've had guys that I've, you know, in the circles that I have here where it's like they have like a hockey team. They have like 6 boys or they have like, you know, they're trying for the girl. And they're like, all right, we're done. We're just throwing the towel. We're good with what we have, I guess. God has blessed us with what we have. You know, you mentioned the NFL, but obviously people know in your story. And if you don't, we're going to obviously get a lot more into it. But you walked away from your NFL career to buy a farm and everything that you and your family do, your harvest goes into helping those in need. I love that, man. And so I know that compassion and paying it forward are certain things that you and your wife are looking to instill in your kids. Talk about some of the other values, sir.
So first of all, look, we love the Lord. You know, it wasn't for the calling that Jesus placed on my life to take that bold leap and to walk away from football. And, you know, he told me, he said, Jason, I have something far greater in store for you than your entire NFL football career. And I just finished up like 7 years at the time. I'm like, really? Like, come on now, like bigger than all of this. And he said, yes. And so Then everybody thought I was crazy. But now looking back at it, hindsight being 2020, now that we've had many more beautiful children born right here on the farm, now we've grown, harvested, and donated more than 1 million pounds of food. I've had countless Super Bowl moments. I've had countless, Hall of Fame moments post-career. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A lot of guys that they really don't want to, turn the page and go to move on to that next chapter. And you really don't know what it's going to look like. But, by faith, I knew that God had my back.
Just one quick thing before we go into other things. Like, Jason, when you said 1 million pounds of food, goosebumps, man, went all over my body, man. That is amazing. I mean, that just – we think about, like, what can we do? You're showing what we can do on a singular level, man. So, I want to applaud you for that.
Yes. And you know, it's all about focus. I mean, so the amount of focus, dedication, and discipline and drive that I had to have, just focus towards, my sport, playing at that elite level for so long. Yeah, when you got competition, on both sides of the ball, I've got teammates that are gunning for my position. I have defensive linemen that are trying to knock my head off. And guess what? If you can have that same passion and that same pursuit away from that, and that's what I tell so many young men right now. I'm like, look, if you applied just 50% of what you apply on the basketball court or the football field, if you applied that towards your academics, man, like you'd be unstoppable. You'd be.
I love it, man. And, talk a little about something that your kids have taught you about life or about yourself in general that maybe you kind of knew was there, but once you started having kids that you was like, wow, I didn't know this about myself, or they brought this out in me. Talk a little bit something about along those lines, sir.
So my children, they absorb everything like a sponge. All right. So our oldest right now, he's 14. Our youngest is, 2.5. And just witnessing, their growth and growing up on a farm setting in this farm environment. Me, it was a choice, all right? I had to choose to walk away from, the NFL, luxury, that fortune and fame. But my children, for a lot of them, this is all they know, okay? And so growing up and having farm chores, having to work for your food, okay? And just, they have grit. All right. And so one thing that I'm learning from my children more so than anything else is that there's still hope in this world. Okay. Look, I know we hear stories that, look, common sense is not so common anymore. Common sense is dead. The younger children, the generations that are coming up right now that are just so entrenched in social media and the culture is such a dominating force. All right. The culture and for so many parents feel helpless, all right? How can the average parent trying to raise their child compete against, the music industry, compete against the sports industry and the movie stars over the influence that those dominating factors have on their children? And, man, look, you just have to fill them with so many other awesome, positive, things. And so on a farm, dude, we have our own culture, okay? And I tell my children, look, I don't care what else is going out there in the world. You don't work. You don't eat, okay? And look, and I know when I say that, some people are like, oh, well, you didn't. No, look, my kids, they eat 3 full meals, snacks in between. And look, we've got goats, chickens, donkeys, like every meat you can think of, fish in the ponds, growing healthy, fresh fruits and vegetables, year round. And here's the crazy part. All right. Now for them, they think that this is normal. Okay. That they think that, oh yeah, we're just expected to eat good every single day. And I'm like, yeah, but you have to remember it's coming from your work ethic, okay? It is coming from, you know, our dedication towards, you know, sowing those seeds on the farm every single day. And I said, don't you ever forget that. I said, no, on the flip side is there's millions of children out here that don't understand the miracle of sowing seeds, that they don't understand, you know, waking up at the crack of dawn. Before we go outside, we have devotion at the family table, devotion and discipleship. We're breaking open the Bible. And I tell my children, here's one thing I tell them is that, look, it's my job as your father. Look, I'm going to provide you 3 hots and a cot. And the first time I said that, they're like, huh? Like, what's a hot? What's a cot? Then I'm like, well, look, I feed you 3 meals a day and you got a bed to sleep in. And I said, but the most important meal that I'm supposed to, that I feed you every single day is a spiritual meal. All right. Like, you know, look, we have to, you know, open up the word of God. All right. We have to stay grounded. All right. So faith and family first. And that's how we do it.
I love that, man. Yeah. And again, I believe that no matter what background you're from, what religion, like, I believe that having something of faith in there is kind of like a guiding compass. And like you said, having a nourishment for the spirit and the soul is so necessary. And I hear you, man, like with all the different negativity and all the like common, you're right, like there's a lot of people who are book smart, but sometimes common sense is not really that common anymore, and it's sad. Talk a little bit about, you know, during the pandemic, my wife and my daughters and I, we started making more meals together, and just like them learning a craft. Not only are your kids, I'm guessing, cooking with you, but you guys are making the harvest and all that. Talk a little bit about the bonding experience of growing something together as a family and then also cooking it. I mean, it must be like, there must be so many fun stories and just fun connections that you guys have on a daily basis.
Yeah. And so now when the pandemic started and when everything was on lockdown, literally nothing changed about our lifestyle. I mean, absolutely nothing. You know, we still got up every single day and did what we were supposed to do on the farm. Like, you know, growing food is essential. And so right now, so it's coming into, you know, late April, going into May. And look, strawberries are already coming into blossom. Right after that, we're going to have plums, blackberries, blueberries. And I love the joy of sending them outside and, you know, they want a snack. I'm like, go pick a bush outside. Go pick an apple off a tree. You know, pick apple trees, pear trees, plum trees, you name it. And I tell them, hey, and bring some back to the house. And they come back about an hour later. And I'm like, how many blueberries did you pick? And they're like, oh, Dad, all we got was a quart. But there's like blueberry juice dripping all down their mouths. Right. And our little baby, you know, he's going out there 2 years old and he's having blueberry blowouts. All right. Like literally, like about an hour later, he's got so much fiber and juice in him that, man, his pamper is just full of blueberries. I'm like, what is going on here? All right. But dude, like, it's simple. It's so rewarding at the same time. And I tell them, look, we're also a team. Everyone isn't doing their part. We all have our different respective roles and responsibilities, but everybody has to do their part, especially you know, when it's time for gathering eggs in the morning and taking care of the chicken. Because, man, we'll crack 18, 20 eggs every single morning and have a huge omelet. All right. I'm talking about the biggest omelet in a huge cast iron skillet.
Yeah.
And you know, we tell them, look, if one of you all isn't doing your part, then, you know, some food in some shape or form or fashion is going to be removed from this table. You know, some food is going to disappear from the table. And so that they start to learn that, hey, you know, if I don't do my part, like, I'm going to get some dirty looks from my siblings because they all love eating eggs. Yeah. And right now, my goal is not to hold them back or handicap them. I allow them to do as much as they possibly can. I send them out in the morning to do their chores on their own and to take care of the animals. the livestock, you know, to water, you know, some of the plants in the greenhouse. And I know that they're going to run into problems. I know they're going to make mistakes. I know they're going to fall flat on their face at times. And I want that. I want my children to have as many failures as they possibly can here on a farm, because it's a learning environment, but it's also, it's a friendly working environment. And I'd rather them do it here versus go out and do it in the world where there's more severe and harsh, you know, repercussions. And so that creates the learning opportunities. And so they'll come back with a problem first thing in the morning and they say, "Dad, look, something was going on with the animals. You know, they got out, you know, this happened." I said, "Okay, well, did you fix the problem?" They're like, "Well, yeah." And I'm like, "Well, how did you fix it?" And they will share something with me that it may not be a way that I would have done it, but I'm like, "Really?" I'm like, that's pretty cool. But I'm challenging them not only to have common sense, but also to critically think every single day.
Jason, I love it, man. This is why you're the perfect guest to be on this show. I so love it. Every, like, critical thinking and talking, like, just that example right there of having them maybe not do it your way, explaining why they did it that way, their way. You both learn, being like, "All right, it doesn't have to be like my dad's way if it gets done, and it does, you know, gets done in a proper manner." So I'm so glad you're on the show, man. What is a dad? I mean, I think people listening to this already probably got a piece of advice about fatherhood or a dad hack, but is there a dad hack or a piece of advice you'd like to share to new dads listening to this?
As early as your children are at 2 and 3 years old. So now our first, you know, child, so JW, he's junior, that he's our oldest. Man, we like baby proofed everything. Like we coddled him, like we were helicopter parents, and literally, we stunted his growth, all right? We handicapped him, okay? Because we held him so much that he didn't even know what it felt like to try and crawl or use his own 2 feet. And so he didn't start walking until he was 18 months. I mean, I know, that's ridiculous, oh, okay? And now that we're, going on, we're eight children, and I say going on, but more than likely, we're pumping the brakes pretty hard here, okay? And that's because we've always said, look, the more the merrier, but I don't think we can get any merrier than we are right now, okay? Like, our house is full of merry, okay? But as young as your children are, give them opportunities to step up in the house and around the house. You know, give them opportunities to shine, and I promise you, like, you will stimulate their growth. Like, you challenge them, and they will surprise you at every turn. Our daughter, she was 2.5 years old, and my wife got her this little toy vacuum for Christmas. And guess what? She took that little toy vacuum and she went over every square inch of the house. And I said, "Dear, like, you should have gotten her a real vacuum, okay?" And look, I mean, honestly, sure enough, you know, she turned 3.5, going on 4 years old. She just loved being a helper. And so every single one of them, and it's something at an early age, hey, we're all in this together. You've heard that before. But especially when it comes to a big family, man, like, they just want to help and they want to do their part. And so you have to teach them at a young age that they have a place, they have value, they have an awesome value in your home.
100% agree, man. That is fantastic. And yeah, just everything you're saying right there about fatherhood is great. And this kind of goes into, of course, your book, Centered, Trading Your Plans for a Life That Matters. But and I know you've shared it with the book, and of course, put up links for people to purchase the book. But you said, you know, hindsight's 20/20, and people are like, "You're crazy leaving the NFL," but yeah. I think you already mentioned it was, you know, the Lord saying to you, like, "Hey, you got to do something else." When did you finally, like, when you got from, like, the first inkling from hearing that to the actual, like, "Yep, I'm leaving the NFL to do this," like, talk about that process and that transition, because it must have been hard, man.
Oh, yeah. So, well, first of all, the walking away and then the temptation, that was the hardest part. So I wrote in the book and shared that I was ready to walk away. I was ready for the transition, you know, and to move on, especially, you know, God placed it on my heart. And at that time, our marriage and our family was not in a good place. Like, you know, if it were up to me and my selfishness and my pride at the time, like, we would have been headed towards divorce. And it was by the grace of God that it was a wake up call. Okay. Like, and literally an intervention, say, Hey, Jason, like, dude, like, you're going to lose it all. Okay. You're going to lose your wife. You're going to lose your children. We had, you know, two babies at the time. And I said, okay, like, I've tried it my way. I've tried, you know, parenting, you know, my way. And of course, insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And my pride, my ego got in the way. And I said, all right, God, I repent. Please forgive me. I'm going to try it your way. And as soon as I said I was going to do it God's way, and I committed to giving up football and walking away, the temptation, my agent called me up and said, Jason, I know you're thinking about leaving, but there's three teams that want to sign you to a long-term deal right now. And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, man, you're still a great player. Like, you got a lot left in the tank. An offensive lineman, man, you can keep playing until you're like 35 years old. And I'm like, okay. And so he said, the Baltimore Ravens, they want you back. And I'm like, get out of here, all right? Because that's the team that drafted me. Mm-hmm. Then he said, the Carolina Panthers, they want to sign you to a long-term deal right now. And I'm like, get out of here, man. I'm like, I'm from, you know, North Carolina. That would have been like Bro Rabbit being thrown back to the Briar Patch. And then he said, the San Francisco 49ers, they want you too. And literally no one knew, even my agent, he didn't even know. The only two people on this earth that knew was me and my wife, Tay, that those were the three teams that I wanted to play for more so than anything, okay? And I was placed in this dilemma all over again because, yeah, I had chosen career. You know, so you choose, you know, sacrifice over family. And a lot of times we get put in these tough, difficult, you know, situations where you say, okay, I'm a father. You know, I'm put in the task of providing for my family. And early on, I said, well, man, like, I've got to chase after career and hustle and put as much money in the bank that as I possibly can, you know, early on. And my wife, she sacrificed as well. She's a dentist. And so she went to dental school, undergrad at Duke. We're not gonna hold that against her. All right. Because I'm a Carolina guy and we clash heads. I mean, only during basketball season, because like Coach K is like a saint to her, all right?
Hold on, Jason, just saying, like, I moved around a lot as a kid, but we're now here in North Carolina. And I was a UNC fan because I'm a Jordan fan, right? I'm a sneakerhead and all that other good stuff. And I'm a UNC fan by, like, Jordan, right? But this is the first time in the state that I lived in where you have the license plate that says a house divided. And it's so, and it could be like NC State or whatever, but it's usually Duke in North Carolina, man. So once you come to North Carolina, you see, understand, and appreciate the culture of Duke and North UNC hating each other.
Even within the house, it's real. And so early on in our marriage, we made those sacrifices, not for our family and for our children and our marriage, but we made those sacrifices for our careers so we could, you know, try and get ahead. And guess what? You know, everyone has heard the cliche, oh, at the end of your life, you're not going to wish that you spent more hours, you know, in the office or trying to get more money. You're going to wish that you spent more time with your family, you know, building with your wife, with your children. And so I've already been there, you know, done that. You know, there were so many regrets, you know, choosing career first. And the first 4 years of our marriage, it was a long distance relationship because I was in the NFL and my wife was in dental school. We weren't even in the same state. those first several years of our marriage. And so it came down to it where we said, look, it's got to be faith and family first. And I told my wife, look, no longer are we going to make decisions for our family based on the almighty dollar. Okay. No longer are we going to worship money anymore, or is that going to motivate us or to steer us in any direction? It's got to be faith and family first, and no matter what the cost. All right. And if you read my book, Centered, so I know a lot of people, they can say, oh, yeah, well, it's easy for you because, yeah, you had so many millions in the bank. Well, guess what? Man, like financial disaster after financial disaster, we were brought down to our knees. Okay. And here's the crazy thing. I could have turned my back on First Fruits Farm. I could have turned my back on God's calling. I could have sold this farm for millions of dollars. I could have gone back and played football. There's a lot of things that I could have done if I was saying, oh, money is the be all end all, and that's what I need for my family. Guess what? What your family needs is you, okay? What your children need is a daddy, all right? They need a father that is gonna be there to love on them when they need loving, to correct them when they need proper correcting, to build them up. Just to pour into them wisdom, to pour into them love, just inspiration every single day. That's what our babies need. That's what our marriages need, for us to love our wives sacrificially, you know what I mean? I'm just so thankful that now I'm at a place of maturity and wisdom where I can do that. Early on in my marriage, for the first 10 years of my marriage, dude, I was such a knucklehead. I was so stupid. But by God's grace, man, he's given me an opportunity to make it right and to get it right.
Thank you again for your honesty and sharing that. One of the things that still boggles my mind as a sports fan, and maybe as a kid, growing up in the 80s and 90s, I didn't really think about it too much. Maybe they didn't do it. But nowadays, they're plastering athlete salaries left and right. That's like one profession where I find it odd that no one knows else too, like what this CEO is making and what this banker and what your neighbors are making, right? And for someone to say to you, oh yeah, it's easy for you to say because you got millions of dollars, like they don't know. Obviously you talk about in Centered and you talk about it with me, but again, maybe using another adage or a cliche, it's like you don't know what someone's going through until you walk a mile in their shoes, right? And for the life of me, when I love sports, ultimate like true things about life, where if, like you said, you put the work in and all that stuff, it just boggles my mind that people are like, oh, this person's make this and that, but you don't understand the taxes, the families that come, be like, oh, by the way, do you remember me? I'm a cousin from like so and so, like all of these things that come out of the woodwork that people don't know about you, Jason, but they just see like the dollar figure that doesn't all go to you. So to me, I just find that funny where, I think, talk about, people throw a rock and, live in glass houses, right? So thank you again for sharing that. And every time like your money comes up or people are like, oh, you're a football player, should you be taking out? Like, there are so many more things, like you said, than money that like factor into happiness and all that. During the pandemic, we followed suit. My wife and my daughters and I, we had a raised garden. Nowhere near what you're doing. Nowhere near. But I think gardening and raising produce and all that, crops, vegetables, teaches you about patience. You can tell your kid like, oh, we're gonna go to the store in an hour, just wait. All right, cool. Having them wait for our harvest or our yield is totally more, you have to be more patient, even for the parents too. Yeah. So patience is one thing, but what is something that living on a farm, and I know you talked about like critical thinking and all that, so that was one, but if you could share another thing about what your family, what you see kids have an advantage of when they're growing their own fruit, vegetables, all that good stuff, what is another valuable lesson?
Patience. Like literally nothing we do is fast. The culture and the world wants us to just have instant gratification in everything. All right. Hey, there's no need to save or to have a savings account. Just get a credit card. All right. And just get what you want. And if you want it now, you can have it now. When I was growing up, my mother, she had stuff on layaway. All right. And she had to pay a little bit towards it, for Christmas. And that's how we got all of our toys. She started putting stuff on layaway. Now they've taken that stuff away from the department stores. And guess what? Now they offer credit cards. Here on a farm, there's no instant gratification at all whatsoever. All right. You're going to have the vision to be able to, you know, see where you want to be in the future. And you're going to have to actually plan it out. All right. And you know, just like you said, with a garden, like we started planning for our summer garden. Man, that was like last fall. Okay. And so, you know, we have to budget and account for our growing family, how much food we're going to eat, how much food we're trying to grow in our ministry. And we say, okay, this is how many, you know, acres we're going to need to work and till the fields. This is how much, you know, seed we're going to need. And yeah, you know, they're learning budgeting, accounting, they're learning, you know, banking as well at the same, you know, the same time. But they're learning also the discipline to have to follow through. All right. Dude, there's no fairy that's going to go to First Fruits Farm and just work our fields for us, okay, or work our garden for us, all right? And so being a farmer and having a farming family, you have to be very conservative, all right? There's nothing liberal about our lifestyle at all, okay? And so, you know, we have to be intentional with everything that we do, you know, if, you know, we're going to be able to provide food for our family. And the thing is that I'm so thankful and encouraged that you are able to actually see those things. And it does something to you, okay? You know, going to the grocery store and going to, you know, to a fast food restaurant, that's cheating, okay? And you know, these kids nowadays, they have no idea or understanding of how much hard work, sacrifice, and dedication went into providing that food, okay? And so one thing that gives me rest and gives me peace is that I know that my children, they'll never go hungry, okay? That they literally will never go hungry for the rest of their lives. Now, I can't say that for some of these other, you know, kids out here, but I'm thankful that God brought my family to a farm.
Love it, man. I'm very thankful for your time. So let's finish up with the Fatherhood Quick Five. Favorite family movie? I know you guys are super busy, but when you have time to watch a movie together, what are you guys watching?
Oh, wow. Well, of course, yeah, it's got to be family friendly. Right now, oh my goodness, I'd have to let them, I'd have to let my kids decide, you know, what family friendly. And I mean, well, we love Home Alone. Look, Swiss Family Robinson. Dude, we're all about that, okay? Like, hey, literally, we want to go out on a ship and get shipwrecked so that we get stuck on an island and just, like, deck that island out with, dude, awesome tree houses. That would be pretty cool.
You're probably, like, one of the families like, yeah, we got this. It's no big sweat. We're good. Favorite family song, or is there a band or an artist you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to?
Oh, wow. So like lately, by a gentleman named, his name's Felix. Can't remember his last name, Jordan Felix, but he's like, Jesus is coming back, man. And so like we rock the praise music. We have some pretty awesome anthems that we sing.
Nice. And again, this is probably tough because you guys are always hardworking, but describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
Vacation, dude. So the perfect vacation is, and we're in North Carolina, so we have the best of both worlds.
Yes.
So if we had a week, and yeah, we haven't done this in a long time because we stay so busy on the farm, but if we had a whole week, we'd run to the mountains for like 2 or 3 days and then just skip across the state and go to the Outer Banks and spend the rest of the week at the beach, you know, for aiming like 4 days. And you get the best, like you get the mountains and the beach.
NC is legit, man. It's like you said, like you have all the different, you know, mountain ranges and beaches and all that good stuff. North Carolina is amazing. Favorite family meal you like to make with your family is what?
Ooh, okay. I've gotten pretty good dishes, you know, lately. So favorite family meal, I'm a grill master. And so, man, I will grill up a couple of steaks for me and my wife, some barbecue chicken for the kids, and just some old-fashioned hot dogs. Like, dude, they love some weenies, all right? It's all farm-raised food. Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
Love it, man. And lastly, top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad, what would you want them to be?
Daddy loves me.
Perfect. Jason, again, thank you so much for the time. People, make sure you follow him on Twitter at WiseFarmerBrown and go to his website, wisdomforlife.org. I appreciate, I know how busy you guys are. Your story is amazing. I just want more people to hear it. Thank you for the work that you and your family are doing, and I wish you guys continued success, sir.
All right. Appreciate you guys. God bless.
I want to thank RPAC for being this week's sponsor for the Art of Fatherhood podcast. I've been working with them for years now, and I really appreciate their dedication to not only keep kids safe online, but teach families, not just kids, but families, healthy digital habits so that they can embrace technology but not overuse it. Go to rpac.com for more information and check them out at your mobile device app store. Please rate, subscribe, and review wherever you listen to podcasts. And also go to artoffatherhood.net. You can have a chance to check out some great articles like the weekly Dad's Doing It Right column, the Collector of the Week, and many more. Plus, you have a chance to win some very cool prizes like video games, collectibles, all that good stuff. Go to artoffatherhood.net. And please make sure you rate, subscribe, and review wherever you listen to podcasts, because I'll greatly appreciate it to get the word out on the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to artoffatherhood.net.